You're driving down Speedway. You eventually need to get up to Grant, but you're a strategist. So you watch the traffic patterns and you keep an eye out for the slow drivers. And you profile the cars in front of you by the age of the vehicle and the type of the vehicle. And of course, you're watching to see if the driver's on their phone. So you drive along and you're assessing the vehicles and you're watching for heavy traffic. And then at just the right moment, you choose just the right street to turn north on to minimize your driving time and your level of frustration. Some decisions are made quickly, on the spot. Others are simply routine. Left sock. Left shoe, right shoe. Putting them on in any other order is madness. It makes the whole process awkward. You likely made that choice originally without giving it much thought. And you probably don't think about it much anymore either. Except for maybe now. Here's something the Apostle Paul said about God and a choice that he made. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This sounds a lot different than a spontaneous decision or one made with no thought, doesn't it? No, this sounds quite intentional. Look at how this one verse is just stuffed with divine truths and teachings and how those reveal the love of God. It begins with God choosing us. It's not the other way around. I know there are a lot of people who think that a person makes a decision to believe in God and then to follow Christ. But that's not only inaccurate and unbiblical, it's also impossible. There are so many places in Scripture where God expresses and explains that we who have faith in Jesus have it because God chose us because we can't. As you hear what God has made you, you realize what you were not before God made his choice. God chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. We were not those things. We were the opposite of those things. Instead of holy, we were sinful. Instead of blameless, we were guilty before God. This is a spiritually dead condition. The Bible explains that this is the natural condition of every single person. And since that's the case, people are not able to reach out and choose God. In fact, they have no desire to do that because they are enemies of God. So, if we were to be close to God, something dramatic would have to happen. God in love did that. His love prompted him to make a calculated choice. It was impossible for us to come to him, so he decided to come to us. Here's another mind-blowing aspect of this. He made his choice before we were even born. Even more mind-blowing, he made his choice, picked us out to be holy and blameless in his sight before he created anything. God saw you before anything. He saw you coming, and with a love undeserved, he chose you to be holy and blameless before him. Before God said, "Let there be light," or "Let us make mankind in our image," he was thinking about you. He chose you. Do you love me? Of course. I agreed that we should buy you a new car, and we did that. And you wanted to spend a week with your mom, and I had no problem with that. She was looking for something different, for him to actually say the words, "I love you," to have meaningful conversations, to share hopes and dreams and hugs and hand-holding. These were the ways that she showed love. She expected him to show love the same way in return, His way of showing love was providing for her, supporting her and the things that she wanted. He was expecting her to know that he loved her because of those things. Sometimes there is a disconnect in our relationships because we don't express our feelings and expectations and our intentions, and this leads to misunderstandings and hurt feelings. When it comes to God's love, he leaves no question about how he feels about us. He had the Apostle John write it down so everyone from then on could know about his love for them. He wanted there to be no misunderstandings about his love for us, and so these are those words. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son and as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is God saying, I love you. He says what he did and why he did it and what it means for us. He's very clear so that we can understand and believe and feel that love. A love greater than any other love that we'll feel here. God wanted us to not die eternally because of our sins and our rejection of him, which would be the end result for sinners. So in love, he sent a solution. The problem solver was his Son. Jesus came, he lived a perfectly God-pleasing life, and then offered that perfect life as a sacrifice to his Father, all to make up for or to atone for our sinful lives, an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. When it comes to God's love for us, he expressed it first. He reached out to us by sending his Son to be our Savior, bringing forgiveness and the sure hope of eternal life in heaven with him. His grace, his love, sent to us. The signet ring has a long history, going back at least to ancient Egypt. It was a ring that typically had an engraving on the top of it, and one use of that was to press that engraved top into warm wax that had been dropped on the overlapping part of an envelope or a rolled-up scroll, and it would leave its impression so that anybody who saw that letter or that scroll would know by whose authority that was sent. There were other common uses of a signet ring, but perhaps the one that we know best is when a king or someone in a high position of authority would use them. It's possible that you remember Pharaoh slipping his signet ring onto the finger of Joseph when he conferred authority on him and installed him as second in command in the whole land of Egypt. Whenever Joseph used that ring, it was exactly as if Pharaoh himself was using it, so that whoever saw the seal on a letter or a box or whatever, they would know that this was from Pharaoh. Signet rings made a seal that showed ownership and authority. The highest authority that exists, of course, is the holy, almighty, eternal God. He uses something much greater than a signet ring to put his seal on what is most precious to him. You are what is most precious to him. Remember, in love, he chose you before creation. And in love, he sent his Son to be your Savior. And in love, he sent his Holy Spirit to work through the Word to give you faith to believe in him when you heard those true words of the gospel. In these words from Ephesians chapter 1, we hear that the Holy Spirit, who is now living in you, is like a seal that the highest authority has used to show that you are his. God has marked you as his own. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Later in our service this morning, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. That's a song that is familiar to many of you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. We were lost in sin. We were nowhere near God. But what did His amazing grace, His undeserved love, do? It moved Him to find us and to save us and to mark us with a seal, with the Holy Spirit, who He later describes as a deposit that is given to guarantee the inheritance that is eternal life with God in heaven. How comforting is that? Without God, we were lost and alone, and now we have the certainty of eternal life in heaven with Him. We are God's children, all because His love found us and marked us with the seal of the Holy Spirit. You open the front door, before you can even take a step inside, the smell hits you in the nose, and your mouth responds immediately, "Oh my, fresh baked bread, and it smells amazing." And you're smiling as you walk into the kitchen. Or maybe it's the smell of the beautiful roses that He bought for you that does it. Or the smell of citrus blossoms as you sit outside. Or meat on the smoker in the backyard. The happiness that comes from a pleasant aroma is different from person to person. What is it that has that kind of pleasing effect on God? Listen to these words and you'll find two things. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. His Father's will was that Jesus would enter this world to save us from sin and death. Without Him, everyone would be lost. So when Jesus offered Himself as a sacrifice, it was like a pleasant aroma to God. It was perfect. It accomplished exactly what God expected and exactly what we needed. The love of Christ that pleased His Father is right in front of us, right on the pages of God's true and trustworthy word. When we hear about that love there and we trust that love, what do we want to do? What does knowing that God loves you and has freed you from guilt cause you to want to do? What does the love of Jesus that has opened the gates of heaven for you cause you to want to do? To give thanks to Him. To return love for love. A little child learns from a parent that a hug is an amazing and powerful thing. It stirs their emotions. They feel loved. And they come to figure out that they can also bring joy and stir feelings of love to others when they reach out their little arms and offer a hug of their own. They learn from mom and dad, and they imitate that love when they imitate their actions. And we're like that when we imitate the love of Christ that He has shown to us. The Bible tells us about people who responded to the love of God with love of their own. And they serve as good examples for us. God tells us that when Noah sacrificed to Him, when he and his family stepped off the ark, God says that it was a pleasant aroma to Him. And He was talking about the heart of faith and love with which Noah offered that offering. The Apostle Paul complimented the Philippians on the support that they gave him, the support of the gospel ministry. He said that was a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. To the Corinthians, he characterized the people that live for God and share the gospel as the pleasing aroma of Christ. It's the same with us. When we imitate the love of Christ and we live a life of love toward God and for other people, we also send up to God a pleasant aroma. May the Holy Spirit continue to work in our hearts as we hear his word, so that we continue to send up fragrant offerings that are pleasing to God as we return love for love.